Beautiful.
There's something, as Emily said, there's something about the simplicity, almost the lullaby character of the tune and its harmonization and the forcefulness of the text. And we need to sing songs like that, that disarm us.
Well, what I hear you naming in A Song to Sing, you all write that music interprets us, tells us who we are and where we are in life, but also gives us intimations of what we are and what our world might yet become. And what I like about Peace Child is that it accomplishes musically a measure of what the words aspire, a measure of the peace that God hopes for us. Don, as you think about in liturgy, and liturgy is this action, this a social action, what would you say about that reciprocal energy of music in this song and more broadly?
Yeah, I think this is where the fusion, the marriage of music, of the human voice that wants to sing, the depth of what's in its heart, and what the liturgy is and can do. That the liturgy, I think, accumulates our relationship with one another and with God. That's why when we get to certain seasons, for example, I have to confess to you, when we get to Advent and those collects come through, I don't care if you're a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Presbyterian, for heaven's sake. In a book on theology, I wrote a whole chapter just simply based on those Advent collects and the proper prefaces, of course, in the Eucharistic prayer. But there's something about some liturgy, some prayer, that has this extra dimension that we need so badly. It's not that low mass can't be done. Of course, it's been done a long time. And I don't want to offend any 28 prayer bookers. the 8:30 service or the 8 o'clock service. But I do think that when we come to the deepest things, we need heightened speech, that is to say poetry, and we need tone, we need breath, we need what vocalization is. So for me, some liturgy has these extra dimensions. I've even written a little bit on the process of synesthesia, which is a fancy word meaning the crossing over of the senses. So that just as in scripture, there are verbal icons in the Psalms, the saving images that are there. So it seems to me that the assembly around the book of prophets and gospels, around the font of the bath, around the table of the meal, that finally that action is synesthetic about everything that God provides for creation and humanity. Anyway, that's what I want to say about that.
Well, and Emily, there are as a preacher, I aim to preach along this continuum that I imagine is punctuated at the one end with the pastoral, the reassurances of the congregation, and then at the other end with the prophetic, challenging the congregation, sometimes offering both affirmation and provocation within a single sermon. Mm. And there are times when a kind of musically breezy song can serve as the container to deliver a difficult truth. I think about Tom T. Hall's anti-war classic, Mama Bake a Pie, Daddy Kill a Chicken. Some will know that song, his protest of the Vietnam War. And your catalog contains many songs that present this tension. Now, so how do you seek to voice, whether it's a righteous cry of hurt or a more pointed call to justice in your hymnody?
These are great questions. There's a lot of channeling that goes on in songwriting. It's a strange process. Sometimes too, for me, it depends on what instrument I pick up. If I pull out a banjo to start writing, a different song is gonna come visit that instrument. or if I bring out a guitar, and I rarely play piano just because I'm not good. I don't, you know, figure I'm going to be performing a lot of piano. But at any rate, part of it is just what you're ready to receive at the moment you sit down to write a song. And granted, there are a lot of things that happen culturally or that are very acute. For me, the last presidency, the last administration was an experience of acute angst for me. And I wrote a lot of songs that referred to that angst. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like with the pandemic and the terrible racial situation in this country, it's very hard to get perspective on it in the moment. But Amy and I did write a song about that together for our own way of just sort of getting it out. And that was, it wasn't really a protest song, but it was kind of like, I know you want to do this. I know we want to go out and be together. But just hang on, this is a long ride and things like that. And then there are other times when a pretty melody or chord progression might come, but there's something quite painful that comes to that song in the moment. So it's not very, it's a bit of a mystery. And I think that, you know, Amy and I we're always observing life, and we're out there involved in many causes, and we're mentored by many leaders, and we learn a lot of things. And so we try to put those things into songs, because songwriting is just the way, it's the lens through which we see the world. And sometimes we're going to write a song that's about a war or about racism, and sometimes we're going to write a very pretty song about the church letting us down.
Well, you tucked one of those right at the end of Faye Tucker on your 2004 release. That's the one you're referencing, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It is. Do you want me to play that one?
That would be great. Tell us the title of this one.
This one's called Philosophy of Loss. And at the end of Come On Now Social, that was an album we did a while back. And in fact, John Reynolds, he produced our latest album, and he also produced that album 20 years ago. But there was a time when people, and we wanted to do it too, you just sort of put hidden tracks on the end of an album. And we had a lot of songs to go on that album already, so we just picked these two songs to go on the end. And one of them was my song. It's called Philosophy of Loss. And I just wrote this in a moment of frustration about the hypocrisy of the church in the light of how I understood the teachings of Jesus, which are, you know, he hung with a motley crew of people, and he was all about love and acceptance and learning to love one another. And I was frustrated at the messaging from some churches, not all, of course. And then I was also struck by those, like with liberation theology, people in Central America, people of the cloth who actually gave up their lives, nuns and priests who died for justice. So it's a bit of a rant, but it came out of a pretty chord structure. So that's an example of what we were just talking about. It is philosophy of loss.